Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
I'm Anissa.
My name's Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
Hey, everybody. It's Ellen.
And Anissa.
This is Anissa and Ellen Raw. And this is Raw.
It's Raw, baby.
We're coming to you from Atlanta, and we're so excited.
We are so excited. Our vision for the Raw movement is... more than anything, we really want to allow other women to tell their story. So we will be interviewing women from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some will be in the fitness world and some won't. Well, and just being able to share their stories in the hopes that hearing how their journey towards authenticity, mm-hmm. in whatever that means for them, inspires and gives space and permission for the rest of us,
right.
to own that part of ourselves.
Right.
Part two of Keep Pushing Forward with Marita.
How did the girls fit into that whole scenario? Because you're trying to be a parent, you're trying to raise your responsibility when you have a child is 100% on your children. And then to have to go through something that is so horrific and so physically and emotionally and mentally horrible and have, but get your kids dressed up for school and feed them lunch,
yeah, how do you maintain normal in the horrific? Like, that's a great question.
A lot of mine was not physical, and that's actually what makes a part of my story very difficult. Mm-hmm. Mine was very mental, verbal, emotional. I spent many, many years in a corner, and I'm a very petite person. He's a very tall person. So I spent many years in a corner with him standing over me and not letting me leave that corner until I agreed to whatever he wanted. So if you can imagine... all I had in my head was the girls. And after hours, the girls have to be fed.
Yeah.
They need attention. So he always got what he wanted because he knew that. And he wasn't budging because he knew he had that to hold over my head. So that's how I maintained normalcy. I had to go through it. And they'll tell you, when Madison read my story for the vigil, she came back and she was like, I remember you in that corner and I had no idea that that's what you were going through. But she's like, it was a vivid memory, mm-hmm. of my childhood, you in that corner. And that's pretty much why she became mom, mm-hmm. to my youngest, because... I was stuck in a corner. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that's not easy. It's not easy because part of the reason why I struggle with self-forgiveness and self-worth is because it's my biggest regret. What I put those girls through is my absolute biggest regret. I cannot forgive myself for that. At all.
But you're going to.
Maybe after they forgive me. I'm waiting for them to forgive me too. You know, because at one point we're going to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a real conversation about all of the things that we all went through. And we've started it. I think it was before she went off for college. She, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of had some sort of confessional. And she looked right at me and she said, so... basically, we went through everything because of your bad decisions. And, yeah. And, you know, and it
but
never...
But that's also the point of view of a child. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the wisdom sometimes to be able to take what you were saying as your confessional and put it in... box it in a way where that forgiveness... because they're still children. So I don't know that... there may come a time where they mature a little bit more and that softens because they gain some life experience where it's not obviously at first they're still children and yeah. they have to say what they have to say, but I don't know that that'll always be the case
I mean,
for you.
It's easy for somebody like me especially to hear a story and say, well, what the crap? I mean, I wouldn't ever stand for that. I wouldn't, you know, you're stronger than that. But when you come from the background that you come from with your family, with your mother, with your, you know, and you're already, your self-worth is not even there. And then you go through this abusive relationship. You don't know that you're making bad choices. I mean, you know, you're literally, and I'm making an assumption, terrified for every moment that, you know, every good moment that you may have had, you're just completely waiting for that terrible, horrible moment that you know is coming. So you don't think about it as like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, you are living it, and there's no sitting around thinking, oh, well, you know, the next time this happens, you know, it's just not that way. It's just not. And so, you know, me naively sitting here, you know, saying I would have stood up for myself. I have no fucking clue. You know, I have no fucking clue. And so it's like Anissa said, the girls, they know deep down inside, but they also have to, you know, they're at that age too. They also have to reconcile in their brain.
They have to process.
Mm-hmm. The things that they recall and that they remember, and right. There will be a point where you will all talk about it, and I'm hoping that possibly you'll do it in front of
some therapy.
Some therapy together, because a therapist definitely will give a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, the right perspective, and know how to help you all talk through it and get through it. But I can't imagine.
And you're not keeping the secrets.
Mm-mm.
Do you see you opening up that conversation? You break the chain.
And that was one of the things I insisted on when we moved up to Atlanta. No secrets. You wanted to know anything, I will tell you.
And I think that, I think.
You know, and I just felt like that was important. But again, it hurt me. It bit me in the ass because according to the court system, that's not right. That's not good parenting to be raw to tell them straight up, I was a very straightforward parent. I still am. I don't bullshit. I will call it as the way it is.
You're like that. You're that way as a person.
That's
the only way that I've known you.
Yeah, exactly. I just can't just fluff. I really can't. Mm-hmm. I can't sit there and console you when I think you're wrong or when I feel like you had a role in something. She always said, you always take their side. No, I don't. I'm just trying to show you how everybody's actions took place, you know, like involved or created this situation. I'm not trying to take anybody's side. I'm just trying to see where I want her to. I don't feel like it's right for me as a parent to say, oh, they're wrong. They mistreated you.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. You know, like. Let's see, like, let's walk through it and what role did you play? You know, well, then I can see why they reacted to you that way or, you know, and she, you know, and she just, sometimes she just was like, well, I just need you to take my side. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, I'm not helping you just by supporting mm-hmm. bullshit. So I just, and I think that's why I insisted on being an open book. I insisted that they tell me and I will tell them, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but that's
I'm your mom, not your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make you feel better like all the time like that.
And with everything that you all have gone through, there has to be, you all have to be raw with each other. You have to be honest with each other. That's the only way that the healing process is going to start.
Yeah.
You know, and it just feeds insecurities and feeds negativity when you know, there's always that, well, I'm going to tell them when they're old enough. And I totally get that.
I don't know when that is.
Yeah, there comes a point where if it's if it's creating such a negative space for you all,
it's time to talk about it.
And it's better for you to tell them and talk to them about it than for some one day they find out something, they heard something, mm-hmm. and then the trust issue comes into play.
Right.
You didn't.
And it's not that it was just towards me. You know, a lot of the abuse was towards us, and I'm much more a victim
and
than I am for
I knew
many
that.
Things. And so
and I knew that.
It was.
I wasn't going to ask about it, though.
It was terrible. I mean, he would punish her to punish me. And again, regret there, because I knew if I stepped in, she would get more. But if I didn't, then she's looking at me like, why aren't you helping mm-hmm. me?
That's why I'm saying it's...
Oh, Marita.
When mm-hmm. she realized, and I'm telling you, the realization in... It was in high school. It was sometime in high school. She realized kids do not get punished that way. He made her believe that this was normal. And that's why I insisted on Raw. Because I needed her to know that's not normal. Mm-hmm. It is not normal to be treated this way.
Because then you know what? You grow up and you marry a man who treats
exactly.
you the same way. Because
exactly.
that's your normal. That's your normal.
That realization, I mean, she flipped out. I have never seen her get so upset and angry to realize that she was a victim too, that this is mm-hmm. not okay. Because in her mind, her dad still loved her.
Mm-hmm.
We all wanted to believe that some way, somehow, he still loves us. I had to teach her. We had to relearn what love is, you know, and... For a long time, she refused to open up to anybody because of it. She was quick to end relationships. She didn't care about cutting people off. She didn't hesitate one bit because anything that triggered any emotion that was the same to what she was feeling with her dad, you were done. You were done mm-hmm. with her. And that's not good either, you know? So you can either fall for someone who's just like him, or you can literally cut everybody off and not know what a real relationship mm-hmm. is at all. And then you're lonely. You're alone. And neither were good at all. So, yeah, that was why I insisted on the real conversations. It's why I insisted on no lies. And I insisted that they wanted to know, I will tell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, the other thing, if you even think futuristic, if some of these issues do revisit their life later in life, mm-hmm. they have to have someone who was always honest with them. Because mm-hmm. if they ever have to tell their story, they have to have someone that they know they can trust,
and who will tell them
like it is and will mm-hmm. honestly believe what they're mm-hmm. saying. Mm-hmm. They have to have someone because he ain't going to be it.
No. Mm-mm. Well, and it's not even just him. It's almost everybody. I mean, to go through what we go through every time we tell our story it's reliving it all over again. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It puts us in the worst space completely. Like,
you mean when you have to retell it in court?
Mm-hmm. Anybody.
Yeah, anywhere.
Anybody. Yeah. For us to tell our story. And I, you know, that was one of my lessons is it's your story. It's my story. What you think of it, what he thinks of it, what the court thinks of it doesn't change that it's your story. So they don't need to believe it to know that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where the value of it comes from. It doesn't, you know, again, worth and value. You know, it's okay if no one believes it. That doesn't make it true. But it's very discouraging to tell it and to have to tell it, be put in positions to tell it, and be come back with, that can't possibly
be
true.
It's extremely difficult when stakes are very high, mm-hmm. as they are for you. It's extremely difficult.
Yes. Not even just me. I mean, I walk around mm-hmm. looking over my shoulder every day still. I mean, that's not a life to live either. So.
Yeah, it's, I'm so happy that you came here today to talk about it in this setting. Because truth be told, I've never heard the entire story. I mean, she hasn't even told the entire story here.
No.
And we're not going to ask her to. And she'll maybe one day. I knew the gist of it. I knew some details. I did not know. I knew Maddie was part of it. I you know, so it's been, so you're so brave. You're so brave. Really, truly brave for coming
so
on.
So brave, so vulnerable and
just walking your path every day that you do with everything that is going on in your life, with all the aspects of it. You know, and we haven't said a lot about what's completely going on right now, and we won't, but it's to know this story. It's you are, as Christina would say, you're one brave chica.
I don't know about that. I don't even know. I'm here because I'm hoping someone who needed to hear it will hear it. Just like, you know, you guys all told me the things I needed to hear at the moments that you said them to me.
And if someone is listening that needed to hear this, do you have like a message that you would say to that woman who is maybe where you were before you cracked open and took that step? Do you have words for her?
Don't give up hope. It doesn't seem like it, but God's always with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to speak a bit. And if anything, that'll help you get to the right, put you towards the right direction. And so when you are ready, because being ready is the scariest part. So when you do become ready, then you have someone that will listen. So don't be afraid to speak of it, even if it's just to one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that's kind of scary. I hate saying that.
That's
because
beautiful, though.
It is beautiful. Because you know what? It's difficult to speak to one person. It seems so easy saying it, mm-hmm. but it's very difficult. Sometimes, you know, just for us folks that don't have, you know, hardly, we think we just don't have any issues. And the issues that we have, it's difficult to speak to somebody, but to really put yourself out there. And so, you know, Anissa and I are, for you to come here and speak to us and speak to our warriors in the community, to open up yourself and tell your story and be so brave is...
You keep saying that.
You are brave.
I'm not
you are
kidding so you. I'm going to go, like, in days from now, I'm going to literally hear this conversation in my head over mm-hmm. and over, and all I'm going to think about are all the things I wish I could have said, or I wish I didn't say, or, and again,
I
brave
think that,
is not one of those things.
you have to say, Marita, you have
brave.
To say, I am very brave.
I'm brave. I'm strong. Mm. I'm worthy.
You know what? You're resilient. You're extremely resilient is one of my favorite words, and I don't use it. I don't throw it around like I throw the word love, like I tell everybody, I love you, I love you, I love you. And people are like, well, you just, no, I truly mean it. So resilient is one of those, it's such a strong, powerful word, and you are so resilient.
Again, work in progress.
We all are. But
we all
you
are, but this right here was...
Part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
This was part of the process. I needed to take this step. Even all of it was a big step for me. And again, I mean, he kept me in that space because I didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, something, I guess, if I could share anything, like not talking keeps you in that space. It keeps him in control.
Mm-hmm.
So
Maya Angelou has a great... quote, it was the book, Now I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings,
mm-hmm.
and because the caged bird has to sing.
Mm-hmm.
my homework assignment last night too was the song by India RE, mm-hmm. Get yes. It Together. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to evaluate those lyrics, and I've been listening to it nonstop, but it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. You want to share?
Such a good it's such a good song.
I have my phone. It's it is a great song. Mm-hmm. I have never heard it, and I love India RE, but I've never heard it before until now. Mm-hmm.
We'll put it in the show notes too. We'll put the song.
Brian
we'll link
is
it in the show
our engineer.
Notes.
He's gonna pull it up for us because he's a rock star.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do appreciate when people see.
You want to read it?
There it is. Do you want to read it?
There. Get it together. You want to heal your body, you have to heal your heart. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Get it together.
Mm-hmm. You can fly, fly.
Yep. It's just, it's interesting. She, again, I feel like he speaks to me through everybody I come in contact with. Mm-hmm. I am so blessed to have my therapist, but I just, she puts stuff like this in front of me and she challenges me and she makes me do things I would not normally do myself. Mm-hmm. I am very quick to shy from everything. But for her, she just, it's almost like she reads my mind. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And that's good because, you know, you have folks that will try 5 or 6 therapists before they figure out somebody that, mm-hmm. that really speaks to them and helps them. And you, it's like you said, he put her in front of you when you needed mm-hmm. her.
All of you, though, you guys don't even mm-hmm. realize. So the first time, even before I started therapy, I had actually been in Fawn's class for a year. Mm-hmm. And I, on my year anniversary, I wrote her a letter and I told her what I went through, how I came to Atlanta, and how her class has helped me. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken her class. She ends her class with mm-hmm. making us repeat after her, I love me. Mm-hmm. And I almost needed it. I need, even if I was faking it, I needed to say, I love me. And so it was very, and I think that's part of the reason why Fawn and I became such good friends mm-hmm. because what I didn't realize was that she needed to hear that from me as well. You know, she needed to see that there was some value in her place in this mm-hmm. world, and she didn't realize she touched lives like she does. So, but
she's
that's
a
the
rock
reason.
Star.
She is, mm-hmm. but so are you. Like, I didn't know Anissa mm-hmm. when I knew Ellen. I knew Anissa from a different gym, and you don't even realize there was a song you played at the end of, it was a cool down, but it wasn't a song. I think it was like a poem. I asked you about it after class. That was huge. And you're the reason why I have a love for The Alchemist. Again, it was a message from God through you. I live by that book. Mm. That book is so much to me. I mean, I write, I have notes in it. Yeah. I have highlighted it. And all because of you. Mm. So I just think it's interesting how God puts all of these things, like, you know, you just have to learn to listen to the messages because he is always with you and mm-hmm. he speaks to you in many ways through many people. You just have to be receptive of it.
And he's within you.
Yeah.
Always.
We're never, we always, I think I posted that from Marianne Williamson that, you know, it's not, we're always question what's within us because we don't realize who is within us. Mm-hmm. And that's where your self-worth comes from.
Yeah.
It's who is within you. And guess what? That's freely given.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to earn that.
Nope. He loves you no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So how are you feeling now?
I'm okay.
You did so good.
I'm
you
okay.
did so good. So good.
I'm the one who fell apart, but
no,
I am. I always
no.
am.
It's honestly like I'm thinking about it and I'm like, you don't remember it, but before or when I was Jeanette, you got into my face one time
uh-huh.
and I was like, she is so close. What is she doing? I'm like trying to do this real, I'm trying to do this ridiculous exercise that she doesn't realize is so hard. You got into my face and you said to me, you are strong enough. And then you walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you guys don't realize that, like, these little things You were thinking about the exercise, maybe. I don't know. That's not what I was thinking, because I was like, she's right.
I always go and say that to people that I feel like are wavering just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And normally it's from fatigue, but in this case it was that and a lot more. So I meant it directly to you.
You got in my face when you said it. I was like, why is she so close to me right now?
And I said it at the moment because I felt like you were wavering because of fatigue. I did not know at the time that there was anything else more to it, but it was specifically directed to you in those moments. You know, when we're teaching class, when people are just dying and, you know, you give them that motivation. But I said it. So I was meant to say it to you at that moment.
And I would say, too, that that's one of the beauties of what we get to do for a profession is that neither one of us takes that microphone for granted.
Mm-mm.
And we're very intentional about how we deliver. I mean, I know it's just an exercise class, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
And it's a privilege and an honor what we get to do in that studio. That's how we feel about it, is it's a privilege to be able to have people's attention in that way. And if you're intentional about it, you can make a difference with burpees and push-ups and squats. You can.
But I think that's what draws people to your classes too, though, because you don't realize that those words you say are just more than just commands for pain.
You have those things that you just know that you say repeatedly over and over again. I know I do. But when I speak to the class and I specifically say certain things, it's as like Anissa said, it's intentional. You know, there's certain, you know, I'm always saying, come on, and are you good? Are you good? Come on. But, you know, when I go up and I say, you're strong enough and you can do this, and, you know, be grateful for your health and take advantage of this moment, that's completely what I'm telling you at that moment.
That it's your time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the only time you have all day. Mm-hmm. That is for you.
Yep. Exactly. That's why I'm so religious about it. Everyone's like, oh, you're so good. You're so committed. You guys have no idea. It's my therapy.
Yes. And it's that way for a lot of people. It is their safe space.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot better than a bar stool, baby.
Exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Now, look at their cuddly monsters like, oh, come on now. We could have a little, you could have a little bar stool too sometimes.
So, since we're talking about all of this, so Marita, tell us, what does it mean to you to be part of the rock community? What does it mean to you to be authentic? Tell us about your authenticity. I know you're still on a journey, but so you're part of this group, and speak to us a little bit about your place in our community.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I don't put enough value into anything. I feel like I'm taking more than I'm giving.
I don't,
that's not comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. I am typically the person who it's almost to a fault that I will take care of everybody just to avoid taking care of myself. And it's interesting.
That's
how
interesting perspective.
That
isn't
was
it?
Very insightful.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to have to wear that one on my forehead for a while.
She's going to have to. And
oh
then
shit!
Will
that was
text
right,
you.
That was
about
right
it
for
later.
Me. Thanks God. Thanks God. Ooh,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had to learn that the hard way. I was like, oh, it makes me happy to take care of people. I'm doing good. But no, I'm actually avoiding myself.
My sister is the same way. She suffers from depression. And she's had a rough, I would really love for her to come on and speak about it, but I don't think she's ready. But she's the same way, man. She's a rock star taking care of everybody else. And she does it to avoid taking care of herself. I'm a rock star at taking care of everybody else. I would love to be able to take care of myself, but I'm like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, it's not that I'm avoiding it, but so it's very interesting that you say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this community, honestly, is, I don't know what it has ever meant to be a part of a village until now. So it's different. It's nice. I don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm going to say this before I forget, but up till now, Anissa and Ellen Raw has been about speaking our truth in regards to, you know, health and fitness and eating and, you know, Anna, who came in and spoke to us the other day, she had a very, this right here is going to change everything.
Everything.
This right here, you, this is what Anissa and I want people to not be afraid to reach out and speak about and tell their story so that people can help them.
That is why we're here.
Or to help other people. This right here, your bravery is about to change this group.
It just scared me.
And don't be scared. It's wonderful.
It is.
Like, it's.
And when we speak earlier in the week, like, people have asked, well, what makes Raw different than anything else? And, you know, you can go and listen to Tony Robbins, or you can go
Oprah.
And hear. And there's nothing against these people. I read their books or whatever. Rachel Hollis.
Love
or
them.
You have like your Oprah moment. But what happens is, and what we can be very inspired, and even the thought of move to action when we go to hear those people. But then what happens? Well, they're the one percenters. Well, of course they can. They've got this, they've got that. But you, my love, are someone's neighbor,
mm-hmm.
someone's coworker, someone's daughter, someone's
you're riding,
mother.
You're riding on a psychobite next
friend.
To somebody.
And so mm-hmm. guess what? Because you can pull yourself up, someone else will say, she's ordinary, but damn, she's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give me the space to possibly be extraordinary too.
Two.
Because you're not an A-lister, a one percenter.
Mm-hmm.
You're every woman. And every woman needs to know
mm-hmm.
that you can be strong and resilient and resourceful. And that other people can take that from you. So see, you are giving. So take as much as you want. Take as much as you need.
No one wants to hide behind perfect. You know, mm-hmm. no one's, you know, it's, you guys are okay with sharing, you know, the bullshit. And, you know, it's so I'm not really just sharing and being different. I'm just being open because you guys are open and it's okay to be open.
It's absolutely
in this community.
Fucking and okay to be open.
Yeah, like, it's okay. I'm like, I'm not, there's a lot of shame in the decisions I've made and the things that I've allowed. And again, it's not really that I allowed it. He just did it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I allowed it and I'm learning to get over that, but I still have not. But talking about it is a step towards that direction. Mm-hmm. If you know, like, I'm not perfect. I don't ever claim to be. I made a lot of mistakes. This is not just him. This is me too. I helped in creating this also, but it's not just me. And I think that it's important for me to say that out loud, that like, yeah, I own my part, but I didn't do it all.
Mm-mm.
And not be ashamed of that. I actually was thinking about going back to the last place. We actually had a home this weekend. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all they know is how we left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm terrified because he was always the big talker. And I never said one word. I just wanted to just, you know, bury my head, just do my thing, just be me and just kind of get past it. And I'm terrified of, as soon as someone sees me, you know, being judged, you know, and I have to learn to get past that and not care about what they think they know. And I think, again, going back to this community, I don't feel judgment when I speak. You guys are both looking at me and all I see is love. and that we love it's you. Okay to be, you know, like, it's okay to share the faults that I had in it as well, mm-hmm. because I know that you're not looking at me like you're crazy or what a terrible parent you were, or, you know, it's just, so, yeah, that's why this community is important to me. You know, I have, there's so much value in the space you guys created to allow us to just let our hair down. Mm. It's okay to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
we're all broken.
Exactly.
All of us.
I'm
I don't know about y'all. I'm not broken.
There's cracks everywhere. Mm,
yeah.
What's that one thing with the Japanese thing that the cracks is what makes the beauty or something? Mm, there's that.
Those bowls.
Yes.
I don't know if you remembered. I don't know if it was last summer or I was like, I'm not kidding you. I felt like I was in the best shape. I actually had arms like Anissa. I was like, finally. But what people didn't realize is that I was in such a depressed state, I actually wasn't eating. And that's exactly why I was starting to look
so
like
lean.
That. Yes. Mm. I wasn't eating. I was starving myself. Everyone was like giving me compliments. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have no idea. Inside, I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea. Some people eat. I can't eat. So I'm like, it's literally starving myself. And so I think it's important for people to know that. Like, you can go back and look at the pictures and you're like, oh, look at how awesome she looked. And I'm like,
I remember exactly the
point.
And
I would
rather
them know that. That's great that I had the physical, but like mental, emotional, no, I was absolutely broken and in pieces, and you couldn't see that.
The inner and the outer were imbalanced, like we were talking the other day. So.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was interesting because, you know, it's like I look back, I'm like, wow, I wish I could have that body again. But I'm like, then I remember, I'm like, no, I remember how I got that body, and I don't want to be there.
It was a terrible time.
So I just.
But we're here
now. But people don't know that. Yep. And I think that that's, you know, the space is where we can share that and then be like, oh, wow. Mm. I thought you were doing all the things right. No, I wasn't doing anything right at that moment. So,
yep.
But I do still wish I had your arms. So I try.
Listen, she's going to be in 10 years, those arms are going to be all flabby.
And you know what?
I will love that too. And I'm going to love those. I'm going to love it too.
Whatever. I'll show you my cheesy thighs if you want to see them. Boom.
I remember when you told Lisa you were a vegetarian in class. I was like, ugh, I don't want to give up meat, though.
You don't have to.
She's a rock.
Seriously.
So how are we all feeling?
I feel.
That's a premature question because I know, honestly, like, I am the worst overthinker. This will, like, run through my
Brian,
head.
Brian, how
forever.
Was it? Brian will tell us. Thank you so much.
Thank you from the bottom of our
so
hearts.
So important.
For sharing your story because the world is ready to hear it.
Are they?
And we're bringing it to the world, so.
You were ready to. Share it, yes. And that's the most important part right there.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere it's not about the story, it's how you tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how that's how people will receive it? So if you speak of strength, then that's how what people will receive from it. But if you speak of weakness and fear, then again, that's also what they will receive from it. So,
and so we are working on reframing
our thoughts.
Reframing our thoughts, our self-talk, what we speak out to the world.
Yes. For me, it's writing it down. Mm-hmm. Writing means permanent for me. I used to write all the time, and I just stopped because nothing was sacred. I couldn't have anything to myself. And so getting back to that is scary because that means it's there for everybody to see. I can think it. All I want, but it's fleeting. And so to write it down means that it's there.
Hmm. So
that's why she's
so
going to be a
one
blogger.
Of our, yeah,
she's
going
already
to be a resident
on the
blogger. But we're, okay, well, you talk with a therapist and see if that's good part of your healing, and you're going to be a regular pod blogger on in Raw.
On the website.
I actually told her about the blog, and she was like, that's a very interesting, I'm so glad that you, you know, she's waiting. She always waits for me to actually come to those realizations. So she was like, again, she's so proud of me.
Yes. And we're so proud of
you. We're so proud of you.
And you are proud of you, right?
Again, premature question.
Say it out loud. Let's say it all out.
Okay, I'm proud of myself.
There you go.
Mic drop.
I know. We're done.
We're done.
So we have rapid fire questions.
Oh, I've been scaring. I've been fearing this.
Like, and then this is completely not prepared. She's never.
But I'm getting it together. How about you do three? I do two. That's fair. That's
There's
still
five.
Well, it just depends on how we feel about it. Yes. Okay.
So would we do three then? You do two. I do one.
But you have to go first.
Oh, fuck.
I may not have F-bomb. A rapid-fire answer, so we'll see.
Oh, but it has to be. It has to be the first thing that comes to your mind.
The first thing that comes to your mind.
All right, here, I've got it. Snakes or spiders?
Like or dislike?
Which one? Snakes or spiders? If you had to choose, snakes or spiders?
If I had to choose? Mm-hmm. Ooh, spiders.
Okay.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure song?
I don't know.
Come on, there's something deep down inside. You know, is it a little tearing up my heart?
I am a major NSYNC? Bobby Brown fan, so anything old school Bobby Brown, Rock With Your Roni, I love it all.
Brian is over here.
Major Bobby Brown.
Brian's like, oh my gosh, a little Asian girl just said. Okay, so my second question is, so tell us your favorite quote.
There's so many. What I live by every day is keep pushing forward.
Okay. So. It's perfect. It's perfect for you.
Keep pushing forward. That's the title of this
podcast.
Episode.
Mm-hmm.
Episode. Keep pushing forward. That's
Thank
the title.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we love you.
From the bottom of our heart, thank you, thank you, thank you for showing up and being
no
so
idea.
Raw.
We love you.
We love you. We love you.
And you can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit atlpn.com, atlpodcastnetwork.com, and on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and now on Spotify.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show.
And you can follow us on Instagram. I am at Ellen Nicol. That's N-I-C-O-L-L.
I'm at Anissa Amison.
Our website is AnissaEllenRaw.com. The Facebook, the public page is Anissa and Ellen Raw. The private is Anissa and Ellen Raw, real authentic women.
Correct. So hit us up in the community. We spoke about that a good bit at the end here. And we'd love, love, love for you to come and vibe with us in our private Facebook group. And like invite everyone except for the men in your life because they're not allowed.
Because they suck.
Yeah, they're not allowed.
Brian,
this is a space
I did
for
that for
us
Brian.
To let our hair down. So look us up and follow us on Instagram at Anissa Ellen Raw. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm
Boom.
Good.
I'm good.
This was the best part of my day today.
Fuck, I was wearing two left shoes all day and I peed myself. So I know this was the best part of my day.
And we out,
we
yo.
Out.